Well, Jesus talking about the second coming, and certainly for his apostles, who he's speaking to at this point, and disciples, to be vigilant. Vigilant at all times, ready, be prepared for the Son of Man's coming. And, you know, certainly during Advent, we are preparing for Christmas, but also acknowledging Christ's second coming, or also, too, when he comes when we die. So again, we want to be prepared, ready for we know not when the Master will come. And so Jesus really is sharing these things with his disciples, apostles. And this would have been, it was touched on two weeks ago, when Jesus was talking about in kind of the end of things, end of Jerusalem. So this is part of that conversation that Jesus is having on the Mount of Olives with his apostles and disciples. Remember, the Mount of Olives is just to the east of Jerusalem. At the base of the Mount of Olives is the Garden of Gethsemane. And this would have been March 31st of 33 AD. That's Tuesday of Holy Week. And again, Jesus is kind of sharing various things with them. He shared with them how the destruction of Jerusalem would take place, which happened in 70 AD. And then he goes and talks to them about kind of the end of the world, things that will come at the end of the world, and he goes through various things. He shares with them various parables. He talked about the good and faithful servant, and the one who wasn't faithful. He went on to talk about the 10 virgins, the talents, and then the judging of the nations. And after he goes through those parables, then that's when this, what we hear today in today's gospel, he's talking about. So these are things that are talking. He's talking about the end, when the end comes, the end of time. And so he really shares with them important aspects about what they're called to do. And it's interesting what he says today, you know, what we hear. Now, maybe he said some other things, but these are the things that that are accounted in the Scripture. And Jesus talks about them, how you're not supposed to, do not beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of life. So your hearts become drowsy. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy. So the heart, again, is associated with, in the soul, the will. The will is what we choose with. We choose things with our will. We can think something, but then we actually choose it with our will. So you think about that. If you're drowsy in your heart, you're kind of not fully awake, you're not fully alive, you're sort of slow, you're like, in a certain sense, complacent in certainly the things of the spiritual realities that we're called to. We're complacent, drowsy, kind of not fully aware, alive. See, the Lord wants us to be fully alive, not asleep. And fully alive is really following what he has for us, what his plan is for us, what acknowledging his will in our lives to do what he calls us to do. So if we're complacent in that, why do we have to beware of being complacent? Well, because complacency, if you're complacent, complacency can lead to more complacency. You can grow on complacency. So you think about it, you know, suddenly you're complacent and then you kind of start to drift off. Yeah. Someone just doesn't wake up one day and says, you know, I want to commit a mortal sin. Usually it's gradual, you know. It's a gradual kind of thing, or to get off course. It's gradual, usually. So don't become complacent, because it leads to more complacency. So this is what we have to be vigilant, be aware of. Am I really not drowsy in my heart? Am I fully alive? From carousing, what does carousing have to do? If you read the Greek, it's like letting loose. Now, sometimes we think carousing is like partying, but letting loose, it's like, okay, if I become loose with my morals, with my ethics, this is problematic. Well, you know, this particular thing, it's not a big deal if I do this little thing, and it's not necessarily good, but I, you know, God'll forgive me. Well, that's kind of leading down the slippery slope of like, well, if you start allowing yourself to do that, Then the next thing happens, you snowball downwards. So what we want to do is we want to, okay, I'm not going to let loose. I'm not going to get off course. I want to stay on track. Drunkenness, you know, certainly you can get drunk when you're, you know, drinking alcohol, for example. So there's kind of phases, you know, you kind of get, okay, I'm partially drunk, I'm partially not with it. And then certainly you get to the point where you just don't know what you're doing, you know, when you're drunk. So what about in the spiritual life? You know, when we're sort of like, do we know what we're doing? And this is what can happen. Someone who is sinning can eventually get to the point where they don't think what they're sinning and doing is anything, there's anything wrong with that. Well, you're sort of drunk in the spiritual life at that point. You don't know what you're doing, whether it's good or bad. Okay, so to really look at that and say, you know what, I need to be really aware of what I'm doing. Be vigilant. Jesus talks about, and the anxieties of life. Well, I have to be aware of those things? I mean, isn't being anxious, isn't that a good thing? Well, at a certain point, we have to say, you know what, things are out of my control. I can't do anything about it. You know, we can worry about something or be anxious. But at a certain point, anxiety becomes a detriment. It's hindering us from being who we're called to be. We're so focused on worrying about something that we lose sight of what we're actually supposed to be doing in our own lives. You know, we're worried about someone else or this or that, and we get caught up in all that. And soon it's like, well, what are you doing in your life? We can get off course. We can lose our focus. We can be so anxious that we're not functioning as we ought. Maybe you've experienced this. You're so worried that you're just not doing what you're doing properly. So Jesus is sharing these things with us. These are important things. Why does he share these things and not something else? Well, Jesus knows the human condition. He's saying, beware, beware. Okay, beware of becoming drowsy in your heart. So we want to be attuned to that. And to be vigilant in that. That's what he says next. He says, be vigilant at all times. Well, vigilance is kind of being aware or cognizant of dangers. Okay? Do we know what a danger complacency can be? Well, we might think, well, that's not a big deal. Well, maybe it is a big deal. Or anxiety or thinking that we're doing what's right and it really isn't. So be vigilant. Be vigilant. You know, it's one of these things where a part of it's being self-aware. He says, be vigilant at all times. Be self-aware. What am I doing? Is what I'm doing, how I'm acting, how I'm interacting, what I'm doing in my life, is it really what God would have me do? Is it really proper? Is it really a good thing? You know, sometimes we can talk to somebody or have an experience or encounter, and they say something or do something which kind of triggers something in us, and it's like, what was going on there? What was happening? You know, maybe there's something in me that's problematic, that, you know, maybe I am not charitable in my actions or my thoughts or what I'm saying to them. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, we can be uncharitable in our thoughts, and it comes out in ways we don't know. This is the thing about thinking something before we actually do it. It does impact our actions, whether we know it or not. So to be vigilant, self-aware. Okay, Lord, help me to be that way. Help me to really see who I am. This is partly humility. You know, God wants us to be humble. He wants really us to acknowledge who I really am. You know, the good points and the bad points. So certainly the bad things, you know, the Lord can help us. We can be open to his grace, allow him to heal us and help us. So Jesus says, be vigilant at all times. And then he says, and pray that you may have the strength to endure the tribulations that are imminent. The strength to endure the tribulations that are imminent. Okay, so all of us, you know, all of us are going to experience in our lives tribulations. You know, they're going to happen, you know. And so how do we handle those? Certainly we want to pray. We want to pray so that then when they come, we're strengthened by it. But prayer in itself can help us, because we're praying to the Lord. So we grow in our trust, we grow in our faith of the Lord in praying. And then when they come, the tribulations come, because we're already expecting them, we're already starting praying for them. Like when they come, it's like we're not surprised. Oh, I wonder why I'm having this problem or this tribulation or whatever in my life. Well, I mean, the Lord told us that we might have tribulation. Why wouldn't we expect them? So the expectation can help us then deal with it. Certainly we're not, you know, when we have them, we're not like, God, why is this happening to me? Why me, Lord? No, rather we like, okay, when they come, we like, okay, Lord, I was praying for strength. Help me now. You know, we have that connection to the Lord already from our prayer. So this is important to look at that, you know, and pray, help me in time of tribulation. You know, it's like the apostles when they're in the agony in the garden. And even at the Last Supper, what did Jesus say to them? He says, pray that you may not undergo the test. Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. So he says, instructs us, pray for the strength to endure the tribulations when they come. They will come. So some things for us really to think about. You know, Lord, help our hearts not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of life. Help us to be vigilant at all times. And help us, Lord, pray that we may have the strength to endure the tribulations that are imminent.